Good to see everyone this morning. We're glad that you're with us today. And today we're going to be thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. And specifically, the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And the idea of faithfulness is something that we need to be thinking about as God's people. In Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 23, the Apostle Paul writes to us about these fruits of the Spirit. And we've been looking at them occasionally, just thinking about each one as we go forward. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so we're on faithfulness this morning, and we have a couple of more to go. We'll get to those and a few months here, but this morning we want to talk about faithfulness. Faithfulness means staying true to your commitments. It means being loyal. And it is a quality of being spiritual. You know, when we think about the spirit versus the flesh, which is what Galatians chapter 5 is all about, contrasting those two sources of desire. And thinking about the flesh and all of the things that it wants, it desires, versus the Spirit and what God wants and desires, and putting those things in contrast. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. You think about what it means to be faithful to someone. It means withstanding all of the assaults that would interrupt your faithfulness, that would cause you not to be faithful to that person or to whatever it is you're faithful to. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's a school, maybe it's a family. Whatever may cause that interruption, you say, no, I am not going to let that cause me to stop being faithful. I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to be true. And we recognize that that is a decision on our part. And so what it means to be spiritual is to let the Spirit guide us and to be loyal and true to God and to the Holy Spirit in this regard. Faithfulness is therefore under our control, just like all the fruit of the Spirit are under our control. We decide whether we're going to have joy. We decide whether we're going to be faithful. We decide whether we're going to be long-suffering or not. And we let the Spirit of God inform us as to what that looks like, and then we follow it. We pursue it. And so faithfulness is under our control. Staying true to our commitments, loyalty, being a responsible person. These are all aspects of faithfulness that we must exercise within our lives. Think about a couple of verses that discuss it. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. A steward was someone who was entrusted with a family's goods, a family's possessions, a family's wealth. And that steward then is to be faithful with that. It doesn't belong to him. It belongs to someone else. And he is faithful with that in the sense that he cares for it, he maintains it, he manages it, but he does not embezzle it. He doesn't use it for his own purposes. He considers it to belong to someone else. And so he is faithful when he acts in that way. Jesus said in Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And what he means by that is simply this, that if we're not willing to be faithful in the smallest areas of our life, how can we be trusted to be faithful with the bigger things? And that's what he's talking about there. And so faithfulness extends to all aspects of our lives, not just to the big things, so to speak, but to all of the little things as well. And we must be faithful in all of these areas. Well, let's think about faithfulness this morning in thinking about three things. First of all, the example of God in Christ. They are faithful, and we need to be faithful to them. And that's the second thing we'll think about, our faithfulness to God. And then finally, faithfulness to one another. God is faithful, and the Bible declares this multiple times. And we think about all of the things that God does. He's faithful in everything that he does, not in just a few things. He is faithful in communication, for example. He has given us the Bible, and that Bible then is established. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, Psalm 119 and verse 89 says. What does that mean? It means that God's word doesn't change, and we can depend upon it. It's faithful. It's not going anywhere. It's not like the laws of the United States, for example, some of which change, it seems like, on a daily basis, right? And sometimes we get frustrated with that, and rightfully so, because we need a solid and good standard to live by. Well, the Bible is that solid and good standard. 1 Peter 1 and verse 25 says, "But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." And so the gospel is God's word. "Heaven and earth will pass away," Jesus said, "but my words will by no means pass away." Matthew 24 and verse 35. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. And so all these statements affirm to us that God is faithful in communication. He gives us his word, he establishes his word, and he expects us to follow his word. And that word doesn't change by the whims and fortunes or disfortunes of mankind. But God is also faithful in his commitments. Psalm 119 and verse 90 says, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations." God is faithful to everyone at all times in everything that he does. When he commits to something, he sticks with it. He's not like men, you know, who will tell you one thing one day and turn around and do something else the next day. God isn't like that. He keeps his promises. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." And so God is faithful, and he will keep his covenant with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. God is faithful in his commitments. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." And so when God promises something, he's going to follow through. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Hebrews 10 and verse 23. And thus, God's promises and God's faithfulness become a standard and become an example for us to be faithful. Just as God is faithful, we may be faithful. And God is also faithful in creation. We think about this world and everything that's in it. Sometimes we wonder, you know, what's going to happen to this world? And there's so much speculation today about the world and what the future of the world will look like, you know. And there's so many who are fearful about the creation. But God has promised that he is going to take care of his creation. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 90. "You establish the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants." The world and everything within it, they are God's servants, and they will do exactly what God wants them to do. We don't have to worry about the threat of a changing world or a changing environment or anything like that, because God is faithful. He made a promise in Genesis 8 and verse 22. "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." In other words, the earth will continue to be a place where we can live and where we can thrive. God has promised that. And we need not worry about God going back on his promises. In Acts 14, verse 17, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. This world has a tremendous amount of fruitfulness in it, and it has enough to sustain everyone. The problem isn't with the world. The problem is with the people of the world. That's where the problem is, and that's where we need to focus our efforts. God, because God is faithful in his creation. And not only in the physical creation, but God is also faithful in his spiritual creation. When we are spiritually created through his Son, Jesus Christ, he is going to affirm us. And as long as we're being faithful to him, he is going to be faithful to us. Romans 8, 31 through 35. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 37 through 39. So God is faithful. And if we're being faithful to him, he is going to be faithful to us. And so God and Christ are faithful. Well, let's think about our faithfulness to God and Christ now. God is faithful to us. How about our faithfulness to him? Well, our faithfulness begins with our identity in Christ. If we haven't identified with Christ in baptism, then we cannot be faithful to God. That because that is the starting point. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And when we are baptized into Christ, we are crucified with Christ. We die and we're buried and we're raised to walk in a newness of life. And that's when our identity with Christ begins. Colossians 3:3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That's when the new life begins. When we're baptized into Christ, Romans 6 and verses 3 and 4. And that new life then entails our living for him. It means putting away all of the sins of the flesh. It means putting behind us all of the evil that we did before we identified with him. It means repenting of sin and going forward to live by the standard that he sets. Think about Colossians 2 and verse 13. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. And so before becoming a Christian, before identifying with Christ, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. But when we were made alive together with him, he forgave us all of those sins. And now we can live for him. Romans 6 and verse 8 says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And so faithfulness is living for Christ. We've got to live for Christ each and every day. Faithfulness is enduring for Christ. Christ endured, we must endure also. Hebrews 2, 3 through 4 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus endured, and we look to him, and so we endure. Faithfulness is enduring for Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. James 5 and verse 11. We must endure for Christ. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's enduring. Fighting the good fight. Finishing the race. Keeping the faith. We endure. That's faithfulness. Be faithful unto death, Jesus said, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. And we must serve Christ. And how do we serve Christ? One of the ways we do that is by our attendance. We serve one another when we attend worship. Hebrews 10 and verses 23 through 25 says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith. That's faithfulness, holding fast. The confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Is attendance necessary in order to be faithful? Yes. Yes. This verse says we must attend. If we don't, we are not being faithful. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's unfaithfulness. But faithfulness is assembling with the saints. And so we must be faithful in our attendance. We must be faithful in worshiping. When we worship God, we come together to offer praise to him through song, through prayer, through partaking of the Lord's Supper, through giving, through studying his holy word. We do these things to worship God. Jesus said in John 4:23-24, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God wants worshipers. But not just any worshipers, those who are worshiping in spirit and in truth. In other words, with the right attitude and with the right actions. In spirit and in truth, we must worship God in this way and be faithful in our worship to him. And so there is faithfulness to God. But there is also faithfulness to one another. And that's something that we need to consider as well. We think about faithfulness to one another. We think about faithfulness in our most basic relationships. There is, first of all, the relationship of husband and wife. Genesis 2 and verse 24 teaches us, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This very beginning of situations that God made when he created Adam and Eve, a male and a female, not a male and a male, not a female and a female, but a male and a female. That is what God desires, and that is what we must be faithful to. They become one flesh. That is what God has defined as marriage in his holy word. In Matthew 19 and verse 6, Jesus quoted this passage. He says, "So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." And so, faithfulness between husbands and wives, it means being faithful to the standard that God set for marriage. It means being faithful to each other in marriage. And in order to do that, we've got to follow God's holy word. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 24, we see the kind of relationship that God wants a husband and a wife to have toward one another. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. But then also, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." And so we have this relationship between husbands and wives that must be maintained. There must be faithfulness here. Wives must submit to their husbands. Husbands must love their wives. It is a relationship of respect and love. And that relationship must be sustained. That's what faithfulness entails in the relationship of husbands and wives. The Bible also discusses the relationships of parents and children. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. And in that same passage, verse 4, it says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Children have a responsibility to parents, and parents have a responsibility to children. And when they fulfill that responsibility, they are being faithful to one another. In the work that we do out in the world, we must have faithfulness. "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Ephesians 6, 6 through 7 says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." And so there is faithfulness in our work as well. Now, faithfulness is something that we must take everywhere we go with us, regardless of where we're at. God wants us to be faithful. Faithful to Him, faithful to one another, and He has already promised that He will be faithful to us. How do we know that we can be faithful to Him? We've got to continue to study His holy word. Remember what 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says. It says, "Study," or "be diligent, to present yourselves approved unto God, a worker who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." God's word gives us everything that we need for life and godliness, 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. And as a result of that, we can be faithful to Him. Let's resolve to walk in the steps of Christ, 1 Peter 2, 21. And as Paul said, to live for Him, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Well, maybe this morning you need to start being faithful to the Lord. We explained how to do that earlier you simply hear His word and believe it, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and you're baptized to identify with Christ and begin your walk of faithfulness. And then, going forward, you live a faithful Christian life, having Christ as your standard, following His holy will, being obedient to His teaching, living in the way that He wants us to live, to be faithful to Him and to be faithful to one another. You can become a Christian this very hour if that's your desire, and we'd be happy to help you to do that while together we stand and while we sing.